Merry meet, gentle listeners, and a blessed Beltane to you all. This is Liz Rarrett, and I will be your host for this episode of Heart of Iowa.
Lady-da-da-dee-day-day, 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 we'll dance the night away. Happy Beltane, everyone, gather round and bring a drum. Celebrate the summer sun, and we'll dance the night away. Happy first of May to you. Wear your bells and bring your flute. May you be blessed in all you do, and we'll dance the night away. Meet me in the grassy knoll, gather round the maple, sing from an impassioned soul. The king and queen are chosen today,
Lady Day.
Build a fire and build it high, kiss the earth and touch the sky. Love as if you'll never die. Dance the night away. Lady-da-da-dee-day-day, 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 we'll dance the night away. Lady-da-da-dee-day-day, 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 we'll dance the night away. Happy Beltane, everyone, gather round and bring the drum. Celebrate the summer sun, we'll dance the night away. Happy first of May to you, wear your bells and ring. May you be blessed in all you do and dance the night away. Lady-da-da-dee-day-day, 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 we'll dance the night away. Meet me in the grassy knoll, gather round the maple, sing from an impassioned soul. The king and queen are chosen today. Kiss the earth and touch the sky. Love as if we'll never die. And we'll dance the night away. Lady-da-da-dee-day-day, 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 we'll dance the night away. Lady-da-da-dee-day-day, 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 we'll dance the night away. Happy Beltane, everyone, gather round and bring a drum. Celebrate the summer sun, we'll dance the night away.
Merry meet, gentle listeners, and a blessed Beltane to you all. This is Liz Rarrett, and I will be your host for this episode of Heart of Iowa. Our opening song was Beltane Song by Celia, and I am so excited to announce that Celia will be performing at both services of the First Unitarian Church of Des Moines on Sunday, June 22nd, and I encourage you to go hear her. She is a wonderful entertainer as well as my friend. Wiccans, pagans, and other earth spirituality practitioners are celebrating the holiday of Beltane this week. That's B-E-L-T-A-N-E. The Gaelic word Beltane means bright fire, and this is both the last spring fertility festival and the first of two holidays celebrating the magic of fire. According to the University of Cambridge researcher Nora Chadwick, quote, Beltane was celebrated on 1st May, a springtime festival of optimism. Fertility ritual again was important, in part perhaps connecting with the waxing power of the sun, symbolized by the lighting of fires through which livestock were driven and around which the people danced in a sunwise direction, end quote. At Beltane, the Pleiades star cluster rises just before sunrise on the morning horizon, whereas winter, Samhain, begins when the Pleiades rise at sunset. The Pleiades are a cluster of seven closely placed stars, also called the Seven Sisters, in the constellation of Taurus, near one of his shoulders. When looking for the Pleiades with the naked eye, remember it looks like a tiny, dipper-shaped pattern of six moderately bright stars. The seventh can only be seen on very dark nights. It stands very low in the east-northeast sky for just a few minutes before sunrise.
Weep no more, for the sun is returning. The summer stars will shine once more, my friend. The warming winds will soothe away our sorrows. The wheel turns and brings us home again. Weep no more, for the sun is returning. The summer stars will shine once more, my friend. The warming winds will soothe away our sorrows. The wheel turns and brings us home again. Weep no more, for the sun is returning. The summer stars will shine once more, my friend. The warming winds will soothe away our sorrows. The wheel turns and brings us home again. Weep no more, for the sun is returning. The summer stars will shine once more, my friend. The warming winds will soothe away our sorrows. The wheel turns and brings us home again. Weep no more, for the sun is returning. Summer stars will shine once more, my friend. The warming winds will soothe away our sorrows. The wheel turns and brings us home again.
That was Blessings of the Summer Stars by Sharon Knight and T. Thorne Coyle from their album Songs of the Strengthening Sun. Beltane and its counterpart Samhain divide the year into its two primary seasons, winter, the dark, and summer, the light. As Samhain is about honoring death, Beltane, its counterpart, is about honoring life. It is the time when the sun is fully released from his bondage of winter and able to rule over summer and life once again. Accordingly, the colors associated with Beltane are all the bright ones, especially green, gold, and blue. Wiccan priestess Christina Aubin writes, quote, Beltane, like Samhain, is a time of no time, when the veils between the two worlds are at their thinnest. No time is when the two worlds intermingle and unite, and the magic abounds. It is the time when the fairies return from their winter respite, carefree and full of fairy mischief and fairy delight. On the night before Beltane in times past, folk would place rowan branches at their windows and doors for protection. Many otherworldly occurrences would transpire during this time of no time. Traditionally, on the Isle of Man, the youngest member of the family gathers primroses on the eve before Beltane and throws the flowers at the door of the home for protection. In Ireland, it is believed that food left over from May Eve must not be eaten, but rather buried or left as an offering to the fairy folk instead. Much like the tradition of leaving whatever is not harvested from the fields on Samhain, food on the time of no time is treated with great care, end quote. I will now play the song Flora by Omnia in honor of the goddess Flora.
Now this is Community Radio for Central Iowa, KHOI FM 89.1 on your radio dial and located in Story City and Ames.
Merry meet, gentle listeners, and a blessed Beltane to you all. This is Liz Rarrett, and I will be your host for this episode of Heart of Iowa. I mentioned fairies, and they are becoming more and more popular in modern paganism. The good folk can be found at the Renaissance fair subculture, including almost all of the fairs in Iowa, as well as sci-fi and fantasy cons. Circle Sanctuary, a Wiccan church and sacred land preserve in Wisconsin, even has a shrine dedicated to the wee folk. It consists of a large flat rock in the middle of a tiny woodland glade, surrounded by strings of sparkling beads and fairy statues. Yours truly happened to be at the Beltane Festival when that shrine was dedicated. The ritual included decorating the rock with flowers, making a show of removing anything metal from the area, since the Fae are legendarily allergic to iron, and blessing the rock with sprinklings of glitter to represent fairy dust. In her book, Ancient Ways, author Pauline Campanelli writes, May is the time when all of nature comes alive and the spirits of nature are most active, and for this reason I believe it is the time when fairies are most likely to be seen. It was in the month of May that as a child I saw fairies. I remember that it was when the Canada May flowers were in bloom. But who are these creatures of other worlds that we call the fae? They seem to be many things to many people. One definition or explanation is that the fairy folk are or were an ancient race of people who lived in the British Isles long before the Anglo-Saxons or the Celts arrived. These people, somewhat smaller in stature than the Anglos, Saxons, Celts, and Romans, lived in round, sod-covered huts that were partially underground. They hunted and probably practiced a shamanic form of religion and stained their bodies blue with juice extract from wild woad. Most Wiccans seem to agree that everything in nature has a spirit. The group of entities to whom I am referring when I use the term fairies is any one of an infinite number of nature spirits, including the consciousness or spirits of plants, animals, trees, springs, wells, stones, storms, etc. In the Arabian countries, fairies are the jinn, and to the Polynesians of Hawaii, they are the menehune, who are credited with building ancient structures of unknown history. Like the fairy folk of Europe, they seem to be thought of at once as an ancient race of mortals and as a class of nature spirits who dwell in the forest, perform magic by moonlight, and under certain circumstances are able to be seen by humans. A Tyrolean charm to see fairies is to gather a spring of rue, a broom straw, this might be a straw from a besom, or a bit of the plant called broom, agrimony, maidenhair fern, and a sprig of ground ivy. They are to be bound together with green yarn, or tied into a pouch with green yarn, and wearing this next to your heart. To make an oil that, when applied to the eyelids, enables one to see fairies, place in a small glass jar 3 buds of hollyhock, 3 flowers of marigold, 3 sprigs of thyme, 3 buds of witch hazel, and grass from a fairy ring. Cover these herbs with olive oil and allow them to stand in the sun for 3 days before pouring off the oil into a clean bottle for storage or until it is needed. When the charm has been made and the oil has been prepared, it is still necessary to go to a place that fairies have been known to frequent in order to see them. The Fairy Queen is the subject and title of our next song performed by Blackmore's Knight.
Just one love,
Twice a year, at Beltane and Samhain, the veils between our mundane world and the unseen ones are thin, and it is an extremely magical time. Fairy tales say that the Queen of the Fairies rides out on her white horse. Roving about on Beltane Eve, she will try to entice people away to the fairyland. Legend has it that if you sit beneath a tree on Beltane night, you may see the Fairy Queen or hear the sound of her horse's bells as she passes through the night. Legend says if you hide your face, she will pass you by, but if you look at her, she may choose you. Many of these old Celtic tales reveal the tradition of strong and multifaceted women that the Celts revered. Their tales featured powerful women who were successful warriors, leaders, and magicians who embraced their sensuality without being demonized for it. I would like to play a song, The Tercel and the Rock Dove, performed by Wisconsin musician Peter Conover. In this song, Conover sings a tale of an encounter with a fairy queen caused by his tercel, a type of falcon, hunting her rock dove.
There is a beach on the coast of Wales where on a summer night, the sun doesn't even think about setting until after 10 o'clock. The sand is golden, the water is shining, and by then the eastern sky is dark, the stars are out, and all that you can see behind you are the cliffs, and not much else. It's kind of a scary place to be alone. And once there in this lonely place, two people met. Sun was low, the moon was young, the evening sky was bright. My tercel spied a rock dove, and it broke away in flight. I followed ever calling and searching and calling. I called for fear of losing my fair falcon to the sea. And then I saw a lady alone on the rock shore. The lady with the rock dove gave my tercel back to me. The lady said, "Doves upon this rock pile are all sacred to the queen. Your life would pay the forfeit if this mischance had been seen." I said, "How did you catch the tercel whose name's only known to me? How can you call a rock dove from the cliff above the sea?" And she said, "There's no use your calling and searching and longing. Just go where goes your falcon, she'll be waiting there for thee." My tercel could have well been lost upon the starry sea. I owe you a great debt now for returning it to me. Said this shore's a peril for a traveler in the night. Accept, please, my protection till the morning brings the light." But she said, "The people in this country own my time and hold my heart. But yes, sir, I will stay here till the time that we must part." Time upon that rock pile was an hour and a day. At dark fall on the next night, she softly slipped away. I followed after calling and searching and calling. Searching searching in the darkness, knowing not where she had gone. And then I saw the castle perched high on the cliffside, an ancient guarded relic illuminated by the dawn. The guards, they brought me to the queen to listen to my plea. I've come to pay the forfeit that I earned beside the sea. But she said, your debt is to a maiden, not an old maid on a throne. Go back and seek your child bride, not an old and withered crone. I said, it matters not what form you take, my goddess, queen, and wife. My fate is intertwined with yours in this and every life. It's done no good my calling and searching and longing. I come to where the falcon goes to claim you as my bride. Then she smiled and said, well said, my chosen one, my father, child, and love. Come with me to the sacred shore. The falcon claims the dove.
The people of the British Isles and their descendants still tell fairy tales about the Queen of Faery, and one of the most famous fairy tales from Scotland is called Thomas the Rhymer. Keep listening, and I will tell you the tale as recounted by Ruth Kirkpatrick. O true Thomas, he lay on a huntly bank beneath the Eildon tree. O when he saw a lady fair come riding o'er the lea. O Thomas, he doffed off his cap and he got down on one knee. He said, lady, you are the greatest queen that ever I did see. Oh no, O Thomas, she said, that name does not belong to me, for I have come from Elfinland, and I have come to visit thee. Oh, her mantle was o forest green, her tresses they were fair, and on every tass of her horse's mane hung 20 silver bells and more. Mount up, O Thomas, said she, for you must come with me, for I am bound for Elfinland, and it's very far away. So they rode, and they rode, and they merrily, merrily rode. It's merrily they rode away until they came to a red river that lay across their way. What river is this? O Thomas, he said. Oh, please do let me say. Oh, this is the river of blood, she said, that is spilled on this earth in one day. So they rode, and they rode, and they merrily, merrily rode. It's merrily they rode away until they came to a crystal river that lay across their way. What river is this, O Thomas, he said. O please to me do say. This is the river O tears, she said, that are spilled on this earth in one day. So they rode, and they rode, and they merrily, merrily rode. It's merrily they rode away until they came to a thorny road that lay across their way. What road is this, O Thomas, he said. O please to me do tell. This is the road you must never lead, for this road leads to hell. So they rode, and they rode, and they merrily, merrily rode. They rode for a night and a day, until they came to a great orchard that lay across their way. Light down, O Thomas, he said, for it's hungry I must be. Light down, O Thomas, he said, some fine apples I do see. O touch them not, said the fairy queen, O touch them not, I say, for they are made of the curses that fall on this earth in one day. So reaching up into a tree so high, she plucked one apple from the tree as she went riding by. Oh, eat you this, O Thomas, she said, as we go riding by, and it will give to you a tongue that will never tell a lie. So they rode and they rode and they merrily, merrily rode. They rode for a year and a day until they came to a great valley that lay across their way. What valley is this, O Thomas, he said. Oh, please to me do say. Oh, this is Elfinland, she said. And it's here that you must stay. So Thomas got some shoes, all lovely brown, and a coat of elfin green, and for 7 long years and a day on earth he was never seen. Now other tales say that when Thomas the Rhymer returned to the mortal world, he found that he had certain gifts. He was unable to tell a lie, and so was also called True Thomas. He could foresee the future, and he became a great and famous poet.
of the grass green silk, her mantle of the velvet fine. I touched it over horses' mane, hung 50 silver bells on night. She tied a silver dog's cap and bowed low down to his knees. Oh, heaven, mighty queen of heaven, like here on earth I've never seen. Queen of fairer land, then I've come to visit thee. Now ye must go with me, she said, true Thomas, ye must go with me. And ye might serve me 7 years, though will and woe as chance may be. She mounted on a milk-white steed, she's taken to Thomas up behind. And whenever a bridle round, the steed flew swifter than the wind. They rode on, and further on, the steed went swifter than the wind, until they reached a desert wide, and living land was left behind. Lay down now, true Thomas, and lean your head upon my knee. Abide, and rest a little space, and I will show you the world.
Was Bohun singing a ballad of Thomas the Rhymer. The Beltane season is precarious, falling between winter and the threshold of summer. While the earth is awakening, winter can still reach its long arm in and snatch the warmth away. A Welsh fairy tale addresses this issue in a very literal way. On the evening of Beltane, the enchantress Rhiannon struggled to give birth with the aid of a sextet of midwives. After Rhiannon was delivered of a son, whom she named Gouri, she and the six midwives all fell asleep. As Beltane dawned, the midwives awakened first, and they discovered that the baby was missing. In order to protect themselves from suspicion, they killed a puppy and smeared its blood all over Rhiannon, claiming she had eaten her son. The midwives were believed, and Rhiannon was sentenced to pay penance for 7 years. Her penance was to sit by the town gate and offer to carry people on her back up to the palace. That same night, a neighboring horse-breeding lord named Tiernan had a mare that would give birth every Beltane Eve, but the colt always disappeared before dawn. One particular Beltane night, Tiernan awaited in the barn for the mare to be foaled, and when she did, he heard a tremendous noise, and a clawed arm came through the window and grabbed the colt. Tiernan quickly cut off the arm with his sword, and then he heard wailing. He opened the door and found a blonde baby boy and monstrous footprints leading away. Bringing the baby to his wife, they decided to raise the child. As he grew, the child looked more and more like Lord Pwyll, the husband of Rhiannon, and Tiernan remembered that he had found the boy on the same night that Rhiannon's baby was lost. So Tiernan brought Gouri of the golden hair back to the castle and told his story. and the child was reunited with his parents, Rhiannon and Lord Pool, who rewarded Tiernan with land and riches. And from then on, neither babies nor foals were stolen on Beltane night in Wales. This story comes from the first branch of the Mabinogi, the Book of National Epic Poetry from Wales. Now enjoy Fleetwood Mac performing their hit song, Rhiannon.
You are listening to Community Radio for the Heart of Iowa, KHOI FM 89.1 on your FM dial, Story City, Ames.
Merry meet, gentle listeners, and a blessed Beltane to you all. This is Liz Rarrett, and I will be your host for this episode of Heart of Iowa. Modern pagans celebrate the return of warm weather by dancing around and leaping over campfires in defiance of any lingering reminders of winter. Tradition states that the higher the leap, the greater the fertility in your garden or fields. Contemporary pagans also burn offerings of specially collected wood and dried herbs in their Beltane fires. Some roll in or wash their faces with the pre-dawn May dew for luck, health, and beauty. The dew or rain collected on Beltane is considered sacred and kept for spiritual purposes, much like modern Catholics keep their phials of holy water. At many Beltane festivals, a king and queen of the May are selected from among the young men and women present. They represent the youthful aspects of the maiden goddess and the green man god, and they lead the ribbon dance around the maypole. The maypole symbolizes the sacred couple's union, which spreads fertility to the land and its many inhabitants. A literal union is often enjoyed in private by Wiccans and pagans during Beltane, sometimes including out in the gardens or fields for fertility. During the group festivals, however, the May king and queen may also preside over hand fastings. Across northern Europe, the tradition of hand fasting for a year and a day created a non-legal test marriage between two lovers whose hands are tied together with ribbons. This is where the phrase tying the knot came into our marriage jargon. At the following Beltane, the commitment could either be renewed or dropped without recriminations. Either way, babies conceived in love at Beltane or born on Beltane are considered especially blessed.
Fly we on o'er hill and dale, spruces guard a fairy tale, hemlock branches bless and stay upon my lovely's way. Tide will roll and bridge stand fast. Eagles watch and breezes pass. Ebb and flow whilst ravens play upon my brother's wedding. Joy on thy fair and fasting day. Joy on thy fair and fasting day.
That was S.J. Tucker performing Handfast Blessing from her album Blessings. The Beltane Fire Society of Edinburgh, Scotland, has revived some of their ancestors' traditions, and each year on April 30th, the evening before Beltane, they put on a massive interactive mystery play that they present through costume and interpretive dance. Over 300 volunteer performers and over 10,000 spectators gather on Kelton Hill in Edinburgh. The story they enact varies in minor details, but here's the gist of it. As the cold of winter wanes, the need fire is lit by the elders of the community. Its warmth awakens the May Queen from her winter slumber. Guarded from the chaotic red and green dancers by her white warrior women, the May Queen proceeds to the east to awaken the element of air and welcome the dawning new year. In the south, she brings the need fire torch to awaken the fire dancers, who twirl flaming torches and poi. In the west, the May Queen melts the frozen water, so fish and mermaids celebrate their freedom. In the north, she calls plants to grow out of the earth. And finally, in the center, she meets her lover, the Oak King, who has grown old and tired throughout the winter. As the Oak King kneels before her, the May Queen strikes him dead, a sacrifice to ensure prosperity for the people and the earth. The white warrior women gather around the Oak King and strip away the dead, dried-up leaves and twigs covering his body. The youthful green man emerges from the old vegetation and is embraced by the May Queen as her resurrected consort. The entire festival erupts in dance, celebrating their reunion. In the center of the festivities, the May Queen and the green man perform hand fastings, a non-legal, ancient Celtic marriage lasting a year and a day, and symbolized by tying the hands of the couple together. You can find out more about the Beltane Fire Society and their celebrations at beltane.org. That's BELTANE.ORG. A big centerpiece of both ancient and modern Beltane celebrations is the Maypole. For those who haven't seen one, a Maypole is tall, usually 20 feet, give or take, a pole stuck in the ground with dozens of ribbons tied to the top. The ribbons have to be very long because they're going to wind up braided around the pole. Two circles of people form around the pole, and one person for each ribbon. The inside circle goes clockwise, the outside circle goes counterclockwise. As they move, the dancers hold their ribbon and weave in and out, passing one person on the right, the next person on the left, and so on and so forth. And in this way, the ribbons weave a tube around the maypole. At the bottom, the ribbons are tied off. Now, a May King and May Queen are frequently selected by a random drawing, and they lead the freeform dancing and fire leaping around the now decorated pole. And now I'm going to read a story from the book Circle Round by Starhawk, Baker, and Hill. The story is called The Goddess Blesses All Forms of Love by Starhawk. Circle round, and I'll tell you a story of how the maypole came to be. Once upon a time, a long time ago, or maybe in a time not yet to come, there came a springtime when no flowers bloomed. The plum trees and cherry trees showed no white or pink or red blossoms. No daffodils pushed up from the cold ground. No buds formed on the roses. No lilacs perfumed the air, and no poppies opened their bright petals to the wind. And the worst thing of all was that nobody seemed to notice, except for one young girl named Vivian. "Where are the flowers?" Vivian asked everyone she met, and everyone looked at her strangely. "Flowers? What flowers?" asked the woman who delivered the mail. "I don't have time to worry about flowers. I've got a route to cover." "Maybe she means flour," said the man who ran the corner shop. "Maybe she wants to bake a cake." "I've heard of flowers," said the woman at the library. "I know I've seen a reference to them somewhere." "I've got a great computer game with flowers," said her brother. "Who needs to dig in the dirt when you can grow your own virtual garden?" Her mother said, "Maybe she needs to go to bed early. Perhaps she's coming down with something." "Doesn't anyone miss the flowers?" Vivian cried. "She's confused," said her teacher. "We must be kind to her."
"She's ill," said the doctor. "We must cure her."
"She's loony," said the other boys and girls, and they made fun of her until Vivian got so mad she ran out of the schoolyard into the deep woods. She ran and ran until she couldn't run anymore. Then she flung herself down on a patch of grass and began to cry. "Nobody loves me," she cried. "Nobody cares about the flowers. Nobody cares about me." "That's exactly how I feel," said a small voice by her ear. Vivian lifted her head and saw a tiny, scruffy, shabby little dandelion. Its petals were tattered. Its stem was bent. It looked like it might collapse at any moment. But it was the only flower she had seen all spring, and she was thrilled down to her toes. "Oh, dandelion," she cried. "I'm so happy to see you. You're so beautiful." The dandelion said modestly, "Oh, not really." But it perked up. "Why aren't there any flowers this spring? Why doesn't anyone miss them?" Vivian asked. "Exactly," the dandelion said. "Nobody misses the flowers. So why should we bloom? Some kind of love has gone out of the world, and so the earth spirits are sick, and the flowers have disappeared. But with the right kind of love, you can call them back again." "What kind of love?" Vivian asked. But the dandelion only said, "Do you really think I'm beautiful? After all, I'm the most common of flowers." Vivian replied, "I think you're gorgeous." The dandelion sighed. "Then I can die happy." It collapsed on the ground, and one by one, its petals shriveled and faded. "Poor flower," Vivian mourned. "You really were beautiful." But she sat up and dried her tears. For now she knew that if only she could find the right kind of love, she could bring the flowers back. Vivian dried her tears and went home. "Oh, Vivian, I was so worried about you," cried her mother. "I was looking for you everywhere," said her father. "I was surfing the web trying to locate you," said her brother. "Do you love me?" Vivian asked. "Of course," said her parents. "I guess," said her brother. "Then help me bring the flowers back. Help me find the right kind of love." Her parents shrugged and raised their eyebrows, but they followed Vivian down into the town. Her brother rolled his eyes, but he came too. "Vivian, where did you go?" cried all the boys and girls. "I went to find the flowers. And I know that if we find the right kind of love, we can bring them back." "Flowers, always flowers," said one of the girls. "You've got flowers on the brain." "She's distressed," said the teacher. "We must be patient with her." "She's disturbed," said the doctor. "We must humor her." And so they let Vivian form them all into a circle in the center of town. They held hands and closed their eyes, but nothing happened. "The circle isn't big enough," Vivian cried. "We need more kinds of love." "I'll go get my Uncle Donald and Uncle Rick," cried one of the girls. "They love each other."
Do you think their kind of love can bring the flowers back? Hooted one of the boys. Vivian said, we need all kinds of love. We don't know what kind of love is the right kind. I'll go get my boyfriend, cried the older sister of one of Vivian's friends. I'll get my mother, said one of the boys. My mothers love each other, and they love me too. I love my job, said the woman who carried the mail, stepping into the circle. I love bringing letters to people. I love my neighborhood, said the grocer, taking her hand. I love the trees, said an old woman who lived in the woods. I love to read, said the librarian. I love my garden, said a tall man carrying a spade. I love my dog, said a very little boy. Your dog? All the children laughed. You think your dog will bring back the flowers? My dog loves me better than any of you, the boy said, and he ran to get the dog. The circle kept growing larger and larger. It's still not big enough, Vivian cried. No circle of love can ever be big enough to hold all the forms of love, she heard a voice say. Holding her hand was a beautiful woman, her hair crowned with all the flowers of spring, her eyes deep as wells and dancing with light like the sparkling surface of a laughing stream. Her face was old and young at the same time, and it seemed to change before Vivian's eyes. One moment she was as dark as a velvet pansy. The next, she was pale as a white lily. She was young and fresh and smooth as a new opened rose, and then ancient and wrinkled as a walnut. Who are you? Vivian asked. I'm the goddess, the woman said. I'm the queen of May. You have called me back from the other world with your circle of love. Then we did find the right kind of love after all, Vivian cried joyfully. The May Queen smiled. There is no right kind of love, she said. I bless all forms of love. Whenever you join together in a circle with love and trust, you have called me. Then how do we bring the flowers back? Vivian said. Here's what you must do, the May Queen said. She pointed to the center of the circle, where a tall pole stood. My tree of life has become a dead stick, but you can bring it to life again. Make a circle of your arms as if you're trying to hug the air. Vivian did, and found herself hugging a big silver ring. That is my circle of rebirth. Tie it to the top of the tree and set the pole in the ground. She tossed her head, and from her hair, shining ribbons of 100 colors fell to the ground, and these are ribbons of love. Tie each one to the ring of life, for each ribbon stands for a different kind of love, and without all of them, my circle is not whole. This ribbon is for the love parents have for their children, and here is one for the love you have for your best friend, and here is the passionate love two grown-ups can have for each other, and here is the love you have for your grandparents, and here is the love you have for a pet. This one is the love and passion between a man and a woman. And here is the love you have for a friend that you fought with and then made up with. And here is wild, devoted love between men. And here is the love you have for a really great teacher. And here is the love you have for your brothers and sisters. This one is for the love you have for your brothers and sisters when they're driving you crazy. And here's the love you have for your aunts and your uncles. Here is love for music and art. This ribbon is for love that generates children and calls new souls into the world. And here's one for the love people have for each other when they work hard together. And here is the love that generates new ideas. Everyone take hold of my ribbons, dance around my tree, wrap the tree of life in love, and the flowers will bloom again. So the people built a maypole and danced the maypole dance all through the day. And as they danced, white and pink blossoms popped out on the plum trees and cherry trees. Daffodils pushed up from the ground, and buds formed on the roses. Lilacs perfumed the air, and poppies opened their bright petals to the wind. When the dance was over, the May Queen gathered all the children close to her. I must leave now, she said, but the flowers will remain in all their different shapes and scents and colors to remind you to honor all the forms of love. And because it was a child whose love brought me back, I will give you children three gifts, that many different kinds of love will come to you, each in the right time, that you will be able to say yes to the love that is right for you, and that you will be free to say no to the love that is not right for you. For while all love is blessed, only you can know what kind of love is right for you. And now I must leave, but every year when you dance the maypole, I will be with you, whether you can see me or not. For in that way, I am just like love. And with that, she disappeared. But the flowers remained through the whole summer, and ever after, when the spring came, the people danced the maypole with bright ribbons in honor of the flowers and all the colors of love. The end. Many turns of the wheel ago, my elementary school teachers had us make May baskets out of our milk cartons from lunch, wrapped in construction paper with pipe cleaner handles, and filled with leftover Easter grass and candy. Usually we took our May baskets home to our parents, and sometimes I would make May baskets for my neighbors and leave them out on their front stoops, which is a continuation of an old English tradition. Sometimes, my elementary class frequently sang the A Tisket A Tasket song about our green and yellow May baskets. I will leave you with Ella Fitzgerald's jazzy rendition of A Tisket A Tasket, recorded in 1938.
A brown and yellow basket, I send a letter to my mummy. On the way I dropped it, I dropped it, I dropped it. Yes, on the way I dropped it, a little girlie picked it up and put it in her pocket. She was trucking on down the avenue, not a single thing to do. She went peck, peck, pecking all around. When she spied it on the ground, she took it, she took it, my little yellow basket. And if she doesn't bring it back, I think that I will die. I lost my yellow basket, and if that girlie don't return it, don't know what I'll do. Oh dear, I wonder where my basket can be. Oh gee, I wish that little girl I could see. I lost my yellow basket. Won't someone help me find my basket and make me happy again, again?
Was it green?
No, 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 no.
Was it red?
No, 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 no.
Was it blue?
No, 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 no. Just a little yellow basket. A little yellow basket.
Merry meet, gentle listeners, and a blessed Beltane to you all. This is Liz Rarrett. If you have any questions or comments about this program, you can email me at liz.khoi@gmail.com. That's liz.khoi@gmail.com. Blessed Beltane and merry part until we merry meet again.